Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz and alongside you, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got a lot to get into tonight. What that will be, I hope to figure it out by the time it is time to get into it, but we will get into it, whatever that may be. I want to start at the very tippy top of the show by reading some of the scores. I want to read some scores. Is that okay with everybody? I can read some scores, just kind of like an update sort of thing. I want to read some of the WNBA scores tonight. So there is one game in action that's just wrapping up between the Dallas Wings and the Chicago Sky. That's wrapping up now. But there were already three. Oh, interesting. There's already three finals. The Storm have fallen to the Sun. So wow, that's a kind of a big upset. The Connecticut Sun, 3-16 on the season after this win, 93-83 over the Storm. Big win there. The Valkyries go to Indianapolis. Caitlin Clark back, and the Valkyries in their first year, they're 10-9 now. They get an 80-61 win over the Indiana Fever. And then the other game that is already final is the Mercury top the Lynx 79-71. So there's four games on the schedule today, and one is still wrapping up with about 5 minutes to go in the fourth. Now, these games have been over for hours. The three scores that I read you that were finals, they have been over for hours because the WNBA, from time to time, will play games in the afternoon. And this is something they've done since the start of the formation of their league. We've seen the NBA have games in the afternoon on a weekday, but it's got to be a holiday. So we're talking Christmas, Martin Luther King Day, they spread out games throughout. And then sometimes you're like, what, there's a game on right now? And it's in Paris or somewhere. But typically, you know, the games are at night or on the weekends. Major League Baseball, of course, that's structured very different. So there will be games. There are four games today in the afternoon with getaway days, and that's very commonplace. And then a team like the Cubs, every Friday that they're home, they'll have a game at 1:20, longstanding tradition. They've done that, and it's great. It's great. Afternoon games, I think are great. NFL typically will do that if it's Black Friday or if a roof collapses from the snow and they have to play later or if there's a pandemic. But typically, baseball is the only league that purposely schedules games in the afternoon. But they do that because of how the schedule is very long, arduous, 162 games. You need travel time to get to the next spot. You may play an afternoon game on a Wednesday. You got to play somewhere on a Thursday. Well, you need some time to travel. The WNBA, and I know the AHL has done this, the next level down from the NHL, but they will purposely schedule games in the afternoon, not for travel, not for TV, but for young kids to attend the games. They call these camp days. They call them because kids from different summer camps will sign up and their camp counselors or whoever is in charge will sign them up and then they will get like a camp rate ticket. For instance, my young son, God bless his heart, he is in a camp. It's technically just daycare at school, but they call it camp. They went to a children's museum today. They've got field trips all over the place. If there was a team of the WNBA in my town, it could be a WNBA game as a field trip for the day. They have done this since the start of the WNBA, but some around the league are wondering, is this still something we want to do? Is this still something we want to do? Have we, I hate to say it, but have we grown out of needing to put our product in front of children? Are we a prime time 100% league? many of the camp days that teams do, they predate some of the existing executives' tenures in the league. The goal, as I've mentioned, was to get kids to see professional sports. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, you want to do that because if you indoctrinate them young, right? It's the same thing that, you know, it's the reason why, like, McDonald's had all those cartoon characters forever. It's the reason why they didn't want Marlboro cigarettes, or not Marlboro, but Camel cigarettes. They had a cartoon Camel. That wasn't for your and my amusement. That was so kids would think smoking is cool, which it's not. I still think, like, if I catch myself in the mirror, if I'm holding a cigarette, I do think I kind of look badass. But my official position is smoking is not cool. K-O-O-L. So there were three camp games today. The Sky and the, Sky are playing now. They played Tuesday. The Sky actually played Tuesday against the Mystics. That was a 11 a.m. Eastern start. There were two matinee games today and then one little bit in the afternoon. But these games were starting at 11 o'clock. Seattle and Connecticut, Indiana and Golden State, noon, Indiana time. Caitlin Clark, get her on national television every game you can. She's on NBA TV on a Wednesday afternoon so we can accommodate some kids. Yes, some teams used to play multiple camp days, multiple afternoon weekday matinees. I'm not talking about weekends. I'm talking about games where kids go with 40 other kids, their parents are at work, they're with their counselors, they're all wearing matching t-shirts, and they're all screaming their heads off. But now some teams are starting to think, do we want to do that? Some teams are still very much on board. But some teams want to go away from the process because they don't find as much value. Like, okay, we could have this day where we give discounted tickets to kids and sell a lot of popcorn. Or we could have a night game and, you know, the alcohol sales, you pour a little bit in a measuring cup. And then you charge $18, put it in a commemorative cup. There's $23 for a Jack and Coke. So some teams want to get away from these camp days. And I think that that would be foolish. And I actually think other leagues should make it a point to play more games in the afternoon. I think they should make it a point to play more games in the afternoon. I really, really do. You got to look long term here. At a camp day, you may make less money than you would make if it was in a primetime setting. Okay, you may make less money doing that. But you are putting your product in front of young children. The best way to get them to like sports is for them to experience sports. Teams and leagues, they're always trying to figure out how do we reach the young audience? You know, how do we reach the young audience? Well, let's get our social media department on. We got to do a meme. We got to get these clips out. We got to make it digestible. You know, we really got to attack where they... No, just play in the afternoon so the kids can go watch the games. Play in the afternoon so the kids can go watch the games. We gripe about this during the World Series. There used to be World Series games on in the afternoon. Weekdays. Kids could watch them. Now, you've gone the reverse angle. You start these games at 8 o'clock at night on the East Coast. And look, it's not just for kids. Like, if you're on the West Coast, maybe the games end too early. I think Mountain Coast, pretty good time. Sometimes even, like, Central time zone, it's a little iffy. On Sunday night, you're starting a football game at 8:20 p.m.? Some of these games don't end until it's technically Monday morning? How is that better for anybody? Why are we starting so late? TV viewing at 11:15 p.m. We got to get a big number there. How about we back it up so that everybody can watch it? That's the way to get people to like the thing you're doing. As I come on the air at 10 o'clock Eastern, we are available in podcast if you'd like to. You know, this is a long plea for Carlos and I to be in the afternoon. This is what this is going to turn into. I'm just kidding. I'm not, but I am, but I'm not, but I am, but I'm not. There it is. But you should not be going away from this. The NBA, they had, I'm sorry, but this is the team that I can best bring it up for, Milwaukee, the Bucks. There was a Sunday afternoon game to end the season against Detroit, and both teams were kind of locked in to their positioning. But my son must have knew like 10 kids that went because they got to experience something. It was a Sunday. It was a Sunday. It wasn't during the week, but they got to experience the game. These games that you go to, these baseball games that you go to in the afternoon, yeah, it's summer and people work, but you might take, you could take a day off to bring your kid to the ballpark. That's the way that they're best going to experience it. You can't make anybody like anything if you don't give them the experience to like it. Nobody starts liking something. Some exceptions, fine. When they're older. I'll go back to cigarettes. Probably a bad comparison, but I'm going back to cigarettes. Who among you that smoke or have smoked started when you were like 33 years old? No. You start when you're a kid, and then you're addicted to it. You're hooked on it. You don't start liking baseball when you're 33 years old. You don't start getting into football when you're 27 years old. A lot of the people that like the sports that we're talking about each and every night that you're calling in on, we've liked these sports since we were a kid. We grew up with these sports. Our parents took us to these games. We watched the games with them. We had the baseball cards. We had the toys. We had the different things. We had the helmets that we could stack. We had the different things to help us feel connected. And if we were lucky, we got to go to a game. Baseball especially. You got to go to a game and see the full game and eat your popcorn, eat your Cracker Jacks, eat your peanuts, eat your hot dog, get your ice cream in the souvenir cup. You don't want to have a memory of, oh yeah, we went to the game. It started at 8 o'clock and then we saw four innings and I fell asleep. And the next thing I woke up, I was at home in my bed. I love baseball. NBA, could you take one night? Your season's as long already as it is. Could you take one game and just slap it in the middle of the afternoon? And be able to adjust it on the fly. If your team sucks, let's say, flip a coin, Charlotte Hornets. If your team sucks and you're playing another team that sucks, flip a coin, Washington Wizards. And you know that your season's over and you are on the schedule in March or April, why don't you petition the league? Why don't you call up the league and say, can we play this game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? We're going to make it an event. Okay, what are we going to draw here on a Thursday night? We're going to have a lot of open seats. We're going to have a lot of discounted tickets. If we put one in the game, we can get schools to come. We can make it a big thing. We can get our product in front of fans. Unless you're trying to hide your product from young fans with the way these teams are going. But I think kids just want to watch the game. I think kids just want to see up close. Do you know what it's like? Do you remember the first time that you went to a game? You feel like you're inside your TV. Because you're seeing these guys and they're moving. And it's the same as watching a movie or a television show or a cartoon. It's something you're watching on a screen. To be there and experience it live, there's nothing better. Hockey. What is the number one thing you always hear about hockey? What is the number one thing? Oh, it's the best sport to watch. It's the best sport to watch live. All right. Well, why don't you tell kids that? And then kids can go to these games and be like, whoa, this is cool. I'm actually going to continue to follow this because I got to see it live first when I was a kid. So three games today in the WNBA. Obviously, it's different with baseball, but I do think, like, even baseball, there should be at least one day game every day. That's something I've been saying for a long time. And I don't think the NBA should be like, oh, no, we need a... These games start at... These West Coast games, I mean, you try to watch them. I know it's earlier out there, but they start at 10:30 on the East Coast. Well, what if your team's playing out there? My kid watches a baseball game every night. They're going to go on the West Coast. He's not going to see them. It's okay to start these games. It's okay to have more day games. Another aside, I am somebody that works at night. And so I do have my afternoons somewhat free to be able to watch a game. So I don't mind when, oh, these games, the games in the afternoon? Oh, no way. But I don't think the WNBA should be pivoting away from. I think they should be pivoting towards matinee games. And I think other leagues should probably follow suit. You may lose a few bucks in the short term, but you can gain more fans in the long term. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Regarding the NBA, there's plenty of players available, varying levels of talent. We'll take a look at that. And the highest signing ever for an extension just happened about an hour ago. We'll give you the details. It's all coming up. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I gave you three of the WNBA finals so far today. Matinee games intended for summer campers to come check out some professional sports. I should give you the other game that just went final from Wintrust Arena, where the Chicago Sky topped the Dallas Wings 87-76. Paige Becker's 5 of 20. Did have 17 points after getting to the line seven times. Angel Reese, 15 points, 11 boards. Angel Reese, the cover athlete of the alternative cover for NBA 2K26. You can get a alternate cover. You can get one with Carmelo Anthony. SGA's on the cover. And did you see, I think Al Horford's on there twice. Like they use different shots of him playing, and it looks like Al Horford twice. Just kind of like blurred out. So SGA's on the main cover. There's an alternate cover you can get with Carmelo Anthony. There's also an alternate cover you can get with Angel Reese. Although, do they even sell physical copies of these things anymore? Or is it just you pay $79.99 online? And that's how you get it. The last physical copy of a game I have, I think, is FIFA 20. And I like getting the physical copies because then the next year, you bought the new copy, you could sell the old copy for like 10 bucks online. But now that's not as doable because you can't sell non-physical data. I am somebody who, I did purge a lot of my old stuff, but I hung on to like Arrested Development DVD sets. I got some Seinfeld, I got some Simpsons. I got some 24. I got some movies. Because these things, they put them on. Just because it's on Netflix, you assume it's going to be there forever. Au contraire, mon frère. They could take it away. And then you're just like, it was here. Physical copies. We're gonna get to it. I believe the way we're going to get through this AI thing is eventually it will get so hard to tell what's real or not, including people, that we will revert back to, we don't want high speed. We want things to be slow. I want to put in a cassette. I don't know that we're alive to see it, but I do think there will be a day where society pulls back. And now this is where really funny people say the line, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Let's get to Paul in Toronto. What's up, Paul?
Hey, I think you're absolutely right. you know, the NBA and the NFL in particular, they take their fans for granted so badly. These afternoon games are exactly how you show, you know, the kids that you care. And that's how you build a fan base. You know, I'm in my early 50s. I'm not really picking up a whole lot of WNBA, but I know my kids have gone to, you know, amateur hockey. They come home and they're, Dad, when can we go back to the Marlies? Dad, when can we go to see this? That's how you're going to build a fan base. Other than, you know, when Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese comes to town, you know, very few casual WNBA fans are going to go. But if their kids are asking to go, that's how you build a fan base.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong, Paul, thanks for the call, with indoctrination, if it's a good way. I mean, think about as a parent, all the different things you indoctrinate your kid with. There's a reason a lot of kids end up with the same political beliefs as their parents. They were indoctrinated. So let's use that, if you're a sports league, to your advantage and indoctrinate the children. Plus, if you do some of these like field trip days, okay, not only are you getting kids to a game, you're getting kids to an NBA game, WNBA game, MLB game, whatever it may be. You're getting them to that, but you're taking them from what? School. Daddy, we don't have school tomorrow. We're going to an NBA game. Now, will the schools have to find some educational value in that? Maybe. That's why it works kind of with summer camps, because it's just like a free-for-all. So we may need to cut through some of the red tape on my other idea. But afternoon games in general, I mean, play some hooky. You know, play some hooky. There's some very well-attended games, too. And yeah, these kids are 8 years old. And yeah, if you're at the game, there's a lot of kids screaming in the crowd. I've gone to some of these hockey games that were matinee games because I would get off the air of a morning show at 10, and I'd be like, oh my God, there's a minor league hockey game at 10:30. Why the hell not? Why the hell wouldn't I go to that? I'd be crazy. And then you get in there, and it's like, wah, 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 wah. And you're like, oh boy. I know one thing some teams do is they do find a way to incorporate schools is they have like math day or weather day, and there's some sort of on-field like thing that they promote, and then you stick around for the game. So I think that there's ways to do it. I just think that the approach, because so many leagues want to get kids to like their sport, but I think they're focusing some of the areas in the wrong place. Social media clips. If you want to get kids to like your sport, either let them come to you or you go to them. A simple thing like having your team mascot in a 4th of July parade. That stuff helps. That stuff works. Not to be all Don Draper on you, but this is 101 here. I don't know of a kid that has gone to a game and said, I don't ever want to have this experience again. I will never forget. I will never forget. There's been two times where I've seen my son's eyes light up like he could not believe where he was. Two times. The most recent time was when we went to a baseball game, because as soon as he got in the gates, like he just couldn't believe what he was seeing. He couldn't believe all the sights and sounds, how big everything was. He was maybe three and a half years old. The first time I'll tell you is when he went to Target for the first time, because he was like one and a half and he had only really been to houses and daycare. And then you take him to a Target, and it's like, whoa, that was, so then we crossed that barrier, or even like a grocery store, something that's, you know, the eyes light up like, wow, there's more than 100 or 1,000 square feet in this place where I'm in. This is incredible. This is wild. David is in Buffalo. Hello, David.
Hey, Bart. Appreciate you taking my call tonight, man. Yeah, I think the WNBA and where it's gone the last couple of years, you know, with this rivalry with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, I think it's important for, you know, not only women's sports, but sports in general, because to me, I think a lot of rivalries have been lost too, you know, because of, you know, all these guys, you know, have similar agents and guys, you know, grow up together, you know, guys, you know, especially in the NBA with the AAU and all that stuff. And I think to me that, you know, the WNBA too can get new people into it. And this time of year too, hey, do something different. Be aggressive. There's no NFL for a few more weeks, at least till training camp and preseason starts. And baseball is, you know, a niche sport, probably the four. Not as niche as hockey, but it's not where the NBA or the NFL are. And so I think the WNBA can definitely gravitate to people because, let's face it, this time of year, unless you're a diehard golf fan like myself, or your diehard baseball fan, there's not a whole lot else to talk about. And so I think they're in a good spot if they can keep this rivalry and get some bigger names stepping up and playing as good as those girls have played.
Yeah, David, thanks for the call. Again, we're just trying to find ways to get people, get more eyeballs. And not just eyeballs, but children. And I'm going with the philosophy that you show them something at a young age and they will like it, because they can see it rather than just, you know, you've liked basketball your whole life. Now try to watch this thing. Or you haven't even thought of basketball, but you got to watch this game. I would like to just reiterate one of my gripes with MLB. I think the way they schedule out their season is lazy. I don't think they put any effort into it. I saw an article how... this was last week. MLB, they've seen what the NFL has done. They are trying to attack the 4th of July like the NFL has done with Thanksgiving. They're not, though. July 4th happened to fall on a Friday, and then MLB just happened to have everybody playing on that Friday. There's been plenty of times where it's been on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Monday where there's 10, 12, 14 teams not playing, which is preposterous. Teams have had to go to baseball and say, hey, we need to play on this day. So one thing that I would do is fix that, but I would make sure there's one game every day in baseball and you plop it on MLB Network. I don't know how hard that is. Or you can say, hey, put it on Fox or NBC or CBS. You know, Fox has given it, local affiliates might be mad they can't air, you know, Judge Judy. Fox is airing the Women Euros during the afternoon on their regular network. You can slap Tigers Guardians on there for the national audience. I think you got to be a little more creative in that. Oh, but I'm at work. Yeah, what's better than having an excuse to not work than following a baseball game? And then maybe you talk to your coworkers a little bit about it. Maybe your boss is a fan. Maybe he's like, eh, or she. Maybe they're like, eh, you know what? Let's take a long lunch. We'll all go to the local pub and watch some of this game. There's only positives to having more games in the afternoon, whether you're a kid, a teen, an adult, or an old person. There's only positives to this. 888 710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll have our bulletin blitz coming up. Now, I do have some more to talk about with baseball. I do have some more. We'll get into that next hour. The one thing that's been fundamentally the only constant, baseball's had different iterations, things have changed, the fastballs are faster, the batters are bigger, the extra inning rules are different. Sometimes there were seven-inning games. Remember the COVID year, the doubleheaders? But there's been one constant, and now robots are trying to change that. We'll get into that in about 20, 25 minutes. Bulletin Blitz next. Right now, an update. It's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable.
The biggest voices in sports.
I have to look in the mirror and right now I have to be a better owner.
The heartbreak.
This team has nothing to be ashamed of. As you mentioned, yeah, they're disappointed, but they have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
The celebrations.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz. Happy hump day, everybody. It is Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. And the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network, gets you your audio of the day. Hopefully, it's not a clip that I played 2 weeks ago and completely forgot about it. I guess we'll roll the dice and see. Bart, let's start here. We talked a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys yesterday and everyone's favorite subject, the Dallas Cowboys. We'll lead off with that. Here's Dak Prescott. He looks like he's not showing any signs of his hamstring injury. Looks like he's all systems go for off-season workouts, training camp right around the corner. They'll be reporting to California pretty soon. And one of the things he spoke about when he was speaking with the media is his new acquisition at wide receiver, George Pickens, who was acquired from the Steelers via trade. Dak Prescott, how long is it going to take you to gel with your new guy?
Not long. As I said, having dealt with the trades before, whether it been Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks, I mean, we'll turn on that guy's tape. He's getting separation. He's got separation even when he's not getting the ball at times. And when he doesn't have separation, he's still making the catches. That it's not going to be hard. For me, it's about getting that ball near that guy and letting him go be George Pickens. And we'll turn on the tape. He's ready to go.
Well, you know what my comment's going to be.
Do I?
Where was that taped off of?
It sounded like he was recorded in a submarine.
It sounds like you can't, you know, back in the day when you'd hit play record on the double cassette player to get a song off the radio.
It sounds for my answering machine.
I did too. It sounded like somebody was then trying to record that with a video camera and then trying to play that off of the video camera and re-record it onto the cassette player. The audio there got lost in translation a few times. Also getting lost in translation. Nah, it doesn't work. But what I want to say is I still think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be good. I still believe in Dak Prescott. And this is one of those takes where I don't really want to give you a reason. I don't know if I have a reason. I have watched him, and there has been times where Dak has looked like a top five quarterback. I promise you there have been. There's also been times where he hasn't, and he has not had good playoff success. Wherever you rank Dak Prescott, I always say I would probably rank him 4 or 5 spots higher minimum. I think he's a top 10 guy. I think a lot of other teams, if they had Dak Prescott, you would view him in a different light. And I will continue to believe in him and the Dallas Cowboys. Now, inevitably, what will happen is they will lose.
Mm-hmm.
Either late in the season or early in the playoffs. And everyone will laugh. I think most of my... No, I don't know. I think most of my Dak Prescott exuberance is truly I do believe he's good. But a good chunk of that pie, at least a third, is a lot of you guys are going a little too far with the... I don't know. I understand Cowboys, I hate them. But you're going a little too far. They're not as bad as you think they are, and so I feel like I have to defend them a little bit. I have to defend Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. I have to do that.
How about that? The Dallas Cowboys will look amazing in December, and then they will look like the Cowboys in January. By the way, I'm with you. I think Dak Prescott is easily, easily one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. let's go to the Eli Manning, former Giants quarterback. He has two Super Bowl rings, inherently makes him better than Dak Prescott and the entire Dallas Cowboys. But one of the things he was trying to do was get into ownership with our beloved Giants. The Giants are exploring selling 10% stake of the team, but he says, nah, bro, I'm out for pretty much the most obvious reason.
The Giants ones, it's basically it's too expensive for me. I mean, these numbers are getting very big.
Even a 1% stake?
Yeah, a 1% stake is something valued at $10 billion. You know, it turns into a very big number. So, you know, I love the Giants, and I think it, you know, is deserving of that valuation. And, you know, it was going to affect my day job, so kind of had to pull out of the Giants deal.
What is 1% of $10 billion? 1% of $10 billion is $100 million.
What is .0001 of $100 million, because I have that. I will buy that much for the Giants.
What is point? So then you, so you might as well just buy the hot dog.
I don't make a lot of money. I work in radio, but I would love to own a piece of the Giants, even if it is a minute fraction that ultimately means nothing. Like it's a $300 bond on a piece of paper. I will buy that.
Well, you know what I'm going to say? That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. All you guys laugh at how the Packers sold stocks because you heard the word stock and think it needs to be profitable. But you know what's worth $300? Me being able to look down at you by saying, I am an NFL owner and you are not.
I want to own the Giants.
Own the Packers.
That's like saying you got it on the ground floor at Enron. Let's go to college football. that was mean. I'm just salty that I'm not an NFL owner. But one day I will be. I will own a piece of the piece of the piece of the piece of the Giants. Let's go to Deion Sanders, everybody's favorite punching bag, or everyone's favorite teddy bear, depending on which side of the polarized aisle that you are on the Deion Sanders train. Deion Sanders, he spoke somewhere, and there was a bunch of microphones, and a lot of things are covered. He refused to talk about his health. Good for him. One of the things that I'm going to play here is what we really care about on the field. What are the expectations for the Colorado Buffaloes this season?
We want to win. We want to win at all costs. We want to be in that championship game, not here at the Star, but over in that other big house that Jerry's built. That's what we want to do, and that's what we're gearing up for. That's all we're playing for. We play to win. We don't just play to compete. Great question.
So what's going to be interesting with Deion Sanders is watching how much he likes coaching when his kids are not there. He has coached his kids, and now they are not there. I think Deion Sanders will like it. I think he will continue to coach. I don't think he's going to the NFL at any time. I never thought he was going to. I think Deion Sanders gets the ability to put more of a stamp on his team in a college setting than you would in an NFL setting. Now, how good is Colorado going to be this year? It depends on how much the branding in the last couple of years has worked. That's kind of been what it's been all about. And are they ready to come and play for Deion? Are they truly wanting to be Colorado Buffaloes? I do think it's like there's a lot of kids that did not consider Colorado at all that now did because Deion's there at Colorado. And it's a simple fact. So it's just a matter of what kind of team he's been able to assemble. Him and Bill Belichick declining to be in the video game, by the way, which is stupid. Just be in the video game.
Yeah, very dumb because you can get some free money out of that. Let's go to the NBA real quick. DeAndre Ayton, he signed a 2-year, $16 million contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. Good for them because they really needed a big man ever since the last trade deadline in the regular season. They tried to get Mark Williams, and then they said, no, your physical stinks. So DeAndre Ayton will check out some boxes there. And here he is talking about why he joined the Lakers.
Being around the two best playmakers in the league and just, you know, Laker Nation,
you know, just having the fan base is, you know, just behind them is insane. I've never seen it before, and just to be a part of it, knowing that the winning legacy that this organization has, I know the expectations, and I know that winning is a lot. It means a lot here.
This was a guy that 3 years ago signed a four-year, $133 million offer sheet with the Indiana Pacers, which at the time was the largest in league history. Had that not been matched by the Suns and then the eventual deal that sent him to Portland, that certainly could have altered what we would have seen from the Pacers. You would think Miles Turner probably gone a lot sooner than he was. But a lot's changed in those 3 years. DeAndre Ayton to the Lakers doesn't seem to be moving the needle at all. It seems to be like, oh boy, now he's the Lakers' problem. That should be interesting how that works, how that all comes together. So it's kind of just, I mean, it's 3 short years, but the defensive efforts have certainly led to a lot of that conversation. We'll get into some NBA a little bit later. Wanted to talk some baseball coming up. Robot umps are going to be here sooner than you think. And by sooner than you think, I mean next Tuesday. Details coming up.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.